Well, good morning. Praise God. I'm glad to see you join us on the internet, and whether you be on Facebook page or whether you are on our website, we welcome you. Today I'm going to continue what we started actually a couple weeks ago. We've been working in a series called basically Understanding the Kingdom of God. And remember, when we're dealing with the kingdom of God, we're dealing with a way of operating. We're not dealing with a location. A lot of people think the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is a location. Now, while the kingdom of God includes a location, it's much more. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is a way of operating. It's how heaven operates, how God operates, and how Jesus operated on this earth. And so we've just been talking about the kingdom of God. We went through quite a journey just before we started getting in this area of the quarantine and all that, or the isolation. I started an area regarding the kingdom of God, dealing with the authority that we have in the kingdom of God. Because again, Jesus' desire, he desires us to know the kingdom of God and how it operates. That's why he taught in parables. That's why he went around teaching the kingdom of God. He taught the kingdom of God is at hand. So God wants us to understand how the kingdom of God operates. And so part of operating in the kingdom of God is operating in the authority that God Almighty gives to us. Now in Matthew 28, verse 18, it tells, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now again, what I want us to understand is that the reason Jesus did what he did on earth was because of the authority that was given to him by his heavenly Father. And it makes some people uncomfortable, but he was yielded to his heavenly Father and therefore operated under the authority that his heavenly Father gave him. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good." And again, you're not a teacher if you don't point out right there, doing good is actually the word philanthropy, which means financial. He was a giver. But he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So he was operating in that authority by healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Matter of fact, going on to Luke chapter 9, and we're going to get in here. There's a level of me trying to hurry, and some people would say, "Oh, Pastor Thad, it's never stopped you before," and you would be right. But there's always a part of me that wants to hurry. So what Jesus did, how he operated, had everything to do with the authority that was given to him. Now, Luke 9, notice this, taking into consideration what Jesus did, he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devils, Luke chapter 9, verse 1, he called his 12 together. So the 12 disciples he called together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And then he sent them out to preach the kingdom of authority, and to heal the sick. Notice he didn't just give them that authority and power. He expected them to use that authority and power. Now, the word power there is the word dunamis. And I was thinking this morning, one of the best definitions I could give for that word dunamis would be, it puts the pow in power. Yeah. It puts the pow. It is the miraculous. It's the explosive power of God. He gave them that. And he gave them the authority. Now authority is the delegated power. In other words, delegated power is that there's a higher authority and they have endued me with the right to do what I'm doing. Now, we know in the Bible it talks about doing things in the name of Jesus. That name gives us authority. If we're looking at what we think of, I could not go to a store and buy a police uniform and do all, have the hat, have all the stuff on me, and go around making arrests. I can't do that unless I go through the right channels and they have the authority of the federal, the state, or the local governments. I have to have their authority over me to operate in that position. Well, in the kingdom of God, God Almighty, we are operating in His authority through the name of Jesus, and we are defeating death, hell, and the grave, which has already been defeated. That's that exousia power of God. Now again, He didn't just give them this, He expected them to use it. Now again, I want you to notice here what He gave them power over. He gave them power over demons or devils and disease. Two very specific things, and yet how do they fit together? Do they fit together? Now, the best I can give it to you and help you understand this is that demons have areas of expertise. Now let me say that I'm going to get through this really quick. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I'd rather talk about what God is empowered with us than what the devil's trying to do. Even though when we talk about what the devil's trying to do, we are I want you to understand we have authority over it, so there's no need to get stressed, no need to get worried. We don't need to be devil conscious or overly devil conscious where it's like, everything's a devil. The devil made me do it. We'll see that in a little bit here. That doesn't hold water. But what we do need to do is we need to be aware of the wiles of the devil, of the enemy, how he works and the ways he works. Because when we understand that, now we can go to war over it. And now we can take authority over. The problem with most Christians is they don't know what to take, and I'm saying most, they don't know what to take authority over. They get some symptoms in their body, and they're like, oh Lord, I wished it would never have. Why me? And they get really stressed because of the symptoms, because they're not quite sure, a lot of Christians aren't quite sure, is it from God or is it not from God? I don't know, but does that sound like something that is kills, steals, and destroys? Or does it sound like something that gives you life? Yeah, it kind of sounds like it kills, steals, and destroys. So you know it's from the thief and not from Jesus. Amen. But again, we need to be aware of it so that we know what we're fighting and know what we're taking authority against. So demons do have areas of expertise, or what I'd call personalities. And when you give access to these personalities, or these demonic areas, they will begin to oppress you, and you will begin taking on those qualities. Okay? Now again, I'm just going to do this real quick here, but just a couple examples, because these are people, you can look at the news and see people that are operating in these. First of all, there's lying spirits. The Bible talks about lying spirits. John chapter 8 tells us that Satan is the father of lies. And so, have you ever been tempted to lie? You ever heard someone say, the first one's hard, but the second one gets easier? It's because you're given access. You're given access. You have the ability to say no, but the more you give into it, you know people who lie just to lie, they don't even have to lie. They just lie because they lie. Yeah. They're being oppressed. How about the spirit of fear? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Jesus said, I didn't give you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So there's a spirit of fear that's not from God, so it's from the enemy. That's why I know that a lot of this coronavirus has a direct line to the pit of hell, because of the fear that's attached to it. Amen? Because there's a spirit behind it that's trying to get a hold of the child of God. And when we sit at home and we're flipping through our screen trying to, you know, what's the next article I want to read? And we're going through and going through and going through. We're getting swarmed. We're getting engulfed in the fear instead of building our faith. So again, you can give room to fear. I was reading an article from Kenneth Copeland, and he was telling on Rick Renner. I think Rick Renner tells a story, so I'm not going to, you know, throw him too much. But I guess back in college, he and some buddies had an all-night film fest of horror movies. And long story short, he noticed years down the road that fear, that he had this problem with fear, and fear would grip him. And he would, and I mean, it was bad. But when he asked God, God took him straight back to that night where he had spent the whole night with horror movies, one after the other, and he said that's where it started. In other words, he needed to get authority. He gave access. The enemy came in and started playing with his fear. So we got to say no to fear. How about the spirit of infirmity? Now, this one connects straight to, he gave us authority over demons and diseases. There's a spirit of infirmity in Luke where the lady who was bent over and could no wise stand up. Jesus said, it says there that she had the spirit of infirmity upon her. There was a spirit on. I've heard many preach, many teach, those that are familiar with this area. I've heard many of them teach that every sickness has a spirit behind it. It does not mean you're possessed. It means that the enemy has come and is introduced you to an area, right? And whether you've received it, whether you wanted it or not, but there's a demon behind every sickness, and if you'll get rid of the demonic area. And we'll see it here in a little bit. When Jesus prayed for sicknesses, he didn't ask his Father. He would rebuke the sickness. He would rebuke the fever. He would speak to it, and it had to go. So there's a spirit of infirmity that attaches itself to people. And this is another one. In Revelation, it talks about Satan as the accuser of the brethren. So I believe that there's demonic activity where the enemy comes on you and tries to make you a fault finder. Tries to make you a person who finds fault with those in the body of Christ or those around. Anybody know? And don't look at your spouse. Anybody know anybody who is a professional fault finder? That they can take a perfectly innocent situation and find fault with it. Now again, the reason I'm bringing up a lot of these things is the level of what we see. We see fear, we see infirmity, we're seeing lying spirits all over the news, all over the media, and we're seeing accusers. You know, I'm going to use this here, but you can go to our president can go, "I love America." And the first comment on his Twitter will be someone accusing him of racism, of sex, whatever, sexism or whatever it is. They'll start throwing out accusations against him. And they can't help it. Why? Because there's a demonic oppression behind it that says, "I've got to accuse." Are you following me on this? So when he says you've been given authority over demons and diseases, what he's saying is that any works of the enemy. Now there's others. These were just a few that I wanted to point out to you because they're in the newspaper. They're online. They're everywhere. Pastors probably need to quit using newspaper things because it's more online now. But we need to be very clear of a couple of things. First of all, we have authority over these things. And they don't have access to you unless you give them access. And we will talk about that probably next week. I wanted to add it in this week, but there's no way time-wise that I'll be able to. And number two, even though these things may be demonic at their roots, you're the one that's still in control. Just because they come a knocking doesn't mean you have to answer. Amen. Amen. People get nervous. I didn't want no demon. I don't know what no demon. Then we need to do what the Word of God tells us to do. And we'll get into that. Now go over to Luke chapter 10. Now these have kind of been our getting going verses as we've been talking about the authority the couple weeks that we've been talking about it. But I want to get in, I want us to understand this, and the Holy Spirit just keeps revealing Himself to me. But Luke chapter 10, verse 1, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. So He had the 12, now He has 70 more. And so this is the same thing He's given to us. The authority is given to us. And sent them two by two before His face to every city and place. Verse 17, jump down to verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy. They're hopping. They're popping. They're excited about what just happened. Why? Because they said even the devils, every devil, whether it be the devil of infirmity, whether it be the devil, the accusing devil, whether it be, we'll get it. Whatever kind of devil, even the devils are subject to us. Who are they subject to? Us. Through Your name. They had been designated authority by Jesus, who had been designated authority by God Himself. And when they went there and they said, in Jesus' name, all of hell, every demon went, oh, no. Because they said, they were subject to us through Your name. Hallelujah. And Jesus' answer was, yeah, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. In other words, who he used to be, he ain't no more. He's a toothless little worm that's trying to convince you he's a serpent. He's trying to convince you he's a dragon. And trying to convince you that he's a lion. And he ain't got any more authority than what you open your door to. The only way he can still kill and destroy is if you leave an opening in your gate. And again, we're going to get to that next week. But I want you to understand, he has no authority in us. He's not what he used to be. In verse 19, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Oh, say that with me. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. We've been given authority over all the power, all the exousia of the enemy. Jesus, God Almighty, expects us to use this authority. The church has gone on acting like a hurt little cat for too long. It's time that we stand up and we roar like those from the lion, the tribe of Judah. All right, so now let's take a step and find out exactly how our authority works. And this is not going to be necessarily an exhaustive study. I just want to show you in Scripture a really great example over in Matthew chapter 8. And it's really interesting we haven't used this in this series yet, and the Holy Spirit revealed it to me, because if we're going to take authority, this is how we're going to have to take authority. Now, this is the account where the centurion came to Jesus. Verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, okay, I'll come and heal him. Can we just stop there for a second and understand the desire and the passion that Jesus has in healing people? That centurion did not give him any kind of credentials, didn't give him any kind of things that, like, here's why you should come. Remember when Cornelius in Acts, when the Holy Spirit came to his house, and there was all these qualifications of why? There's none of that here. He said, I got a servant at home who's at the point of death. He needs healing touch. And Jesus, without saying anything else, goes, all right, I'll come. Anybody, listen, I just want to say this. Healing's the children's bread. God wants you healed more than you want to be healed. And we got to get that established in us before we can move further in understanding things and receiving it. Anyway, verse 8. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy. Now that's maybe not. But he said, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now we know a little bit later, two verses later, Jesus says, that's the greatest faith I've ever seen. Speak the word only. Speak the word only. Because that tells you right there that if we'll speak the word, oh, this is good. This is good. If we'll speak the word, things will happen. When you keep speaking about how big the mountain is, then that mountain is going to get bigger. Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm trying to think exact quote. Mark Hankins says something on this order that the reason your words will move the mountains is because your words are what built the mountains in the first place. And I like that because, again, he says, speak the word only. I know authority. I get that. Verse 9. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. So he's under authority, and he is an authority. So he understands how authority works. He said, I say to this man, go, he goes. I say to another, come, he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. And that Jesus said, goodness gracious, what kind of faith is that? Now again, two things I want you to really get here in this is, first of all, authority works in your mouth. It works by what you say, not by necessarily, I think I said this on Wednesday night, not necessarily just by what you think. You got to say it out loud. That's why when the enemy comes at you with symptoms, don't sit there and think about the word. Get it in your mouth. Get it in your mouth. Let it flow out of your mouth. Authority works by your mouth. If you don't tell the devil to go, he's not going to go. If you don't speak for healing to come, I'm sorry, Scripture, I'll stick with Scripture on this. It's going to elude you. If you don't speak it, it's not going to happen. Mark tells us, 23, whatever you say, speak to the mountain, and you'll have whatever you say. Right? That's the authority. If we don't command healing, if we don't tell the devil to leave us alone and to leave, if we don't speak it, it's not going to happen. That's how authority works. That's what the centurion said. And Jesus didn't say, well, kinda. Jesus said, ooh, dude, I like that sermon. I'm going to preach that sermon, and I'm going to have preachers preach that sermon throughout the rest of history. Because it's so good. Authority works by your mouth. So you got to get it in your mouth. But now notice this part, and you can miss this. Verse 9 starts out, I am a man under authority. So the second key here is that you must be under an authority to have authority. You can't just walk around. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? They tried to cast out devils, but they weren't under any kind of authority. And the devils jumped on them and beat them up. Because they weren't under authority. You've got to be under an authority in order to operate in authority. Now, again, using my illustration of me going out to a store, I could go to a police officer store, a uniform store, and buy the real stuff. But if I don't have the badge and I don't have the government behind me, I have no authority. I must be under authority in order to walk in that authority. That's why over in James chapter 4, this is good, man. This is good. Hallelujah. I am so humbled by what the Holy Spirit's been giving me on this because it's been so timely. Everything that has been preached has been so timely. But in James chapter 4, verse 7, he says, submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Beloved, it does not say, resist the devil and he'll flee. How many Christians, that's the part of the verse they quote? Well, the Bible says to resist the devil and he'll flee. No, it doesn't. Some of you might be getting nervous in the service. Don't get nervous in the service. You're taking half the scripture and leaving out the most important. Because if you're not submitting to the authority of Almighty God, then you have no authority to resist the devil. The devil come in every nook and cranny and fill your life up with misery. And again, I'm saying this. I'm saying this with love. I'm not saying this arrogantly. I'm simply saying too many Christians are trying to resist the devil and yet they've not yielded themselves to the things of God. One of my favorite quotes that I've heard recently is from Mark Batterson, where he says, many Christians think they're following Jesus when all they've done is invited Jesus to follow them. They've not yielded to Him. They've not given Him access. They've not given Him authority over their lives. So they're busy calling the shots. They've done more submitting to the enemy and his deceit, therefore stifling what God wants to do. Listen to me, beloved. You cannot submit yourself, therefore, to the devil's lies and expect to have authority over him. Whoever you submit yourself to is the authority that you'll operate under. Yeah, goodness. In other words, how many Christians do you know have given into the lies of not tithing? But I can't afford it. I can't afford to give a tenth of my salary. I can barely make it with what I have. You're getting into the lies of the devil. You've submitted yourself to the lies of the devil. How many have given into the lies of not going to church or not or the lies of forsaking the assembling of yourself together? Now, Grant, I understand we're internet church right now. But when we get back, who's giving into that lies? Some of y'all might be thinking, this is pretty good. If Pastor Thad keeps doing this, I'll just keep staying at home. Nope. Don't fall into that lie. You are submitting yourself to the lie of the devil. The lying spirit. They've given into the lies of sin being okay. Amen. All right. You're getting the point here, right? You must submit yourself to the authority of Almighty God in order to receive the power to resist and to bind up the devil. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, beloved. This is going to unlock some doors for you all. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he's not a roaring lion. He's nothing to be afraid of. He's just got, he's a big kitty cat with a big costume. Or a little kitty cat with a big costume or a worm with a big costume. Nothing to be afraid of. He walketh about looking who he can devour. Can't devour just anybody. Who can't he devour? Those, verse 9, resist steadfast in the faith, knowing he's doing it to everybody. He's doing it to all the brothers and sisters. You ain't no different. But you have the authority and the power given to you to resist Him, to stop Him. If a symptom comes in your body, you have the authority to stop it. Amen. I don't want to take me a long time on this either, because I do want to get to this last section. But we can just look at the life of Jesus and see how Jesus operated in this. Luke chapter 4 talks about how, now this was when he was being tempted, remember that? And he had three temptations. And at one point, the devil took him up onto a high mountain and said, you know, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you'll just bow down to me. Right? And in verse 8, Jesus answered and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it's written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve." Notice, two ways Jesus took authority over Satan. He didn't argue with him. He just told him, shut up. And then he put the Word of God to work. I want you to see this. He says, shut up, and then he put the Word of God to work. It is written. He said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written. Now again, we must know the Word. We must read the Word. We must hear the Word. We must speak the Word. We must be full of the Word. We must submit to the Word. We must get the Word so far inside of us that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You follow me on that? Because when the pressure comes and the devil wants to try to get you to do something or accept something on yourself, let's just go to this one. How about the thought comes to you to accuse a brother in the Lord or to speak against your pastor? And your thought comes, you're going to lean over to someone and said, he's preaching awfully long today, isn't he? Right? That thought comes to your head. You don't have to give in to it. You've got authority over that. You need to say, not out loud because the pastor will think you're talking to him. Say, shut up. And then put the Word to work. I'm going to receive this Word. I'm good soil. I receive this Word. I want all that God has for me. And get closer to the edge. Go sit right in front of the TV today. The enemy's trying to tell you that. Sit right in front and get in here close. Get in here close. Get in here close. We're going to get in here close, right? We're not going to let that lie happen, are we? How about Luke chapter 4, verse 38? We'll read verse 39, but Peter's mother-in-law is in a bad spot with a fever, probably dying by whatever she had, but she had a great fever. Verse 39, Jesus stood over and he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And she got up so quickly and just started serving other people. Now again, he rebuked the fever. What did he do to the fever? Well, based on what we just saw, against Satan, he said, shut up, fever. Not talking to the lady, talking to the fever. Shut up. Here's what the Word of God says. He himself. Now, he didn't have this scripture. So, well, how about this one? He blesses my bread and our water, and sickness is far from the midst of us. He said, shut up. Then he put the Word of God to work. He rebuked the fever. He didn't rebuke the lady. He didn't ask God for anything. Luke chapter 8. Jesus and the disciples are in the middle of the storm. He's been sleeping. Verse 24, and they came to him and awoke him saying, Master, Master, we perish. And he arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And it ceased and it was calm. What'd he do? What'd he do? He looked out at the storm and he said, shut up! And then he spoke the word, peace. Peace! You say, well, it doesn't say that there, Pastor Thad. But this is the way he's already said that you take authority over the devil. When the devil was face to face with him, this is how he took care of it. So this is how you rebuke the devil in your life. Tell him to shut up. Quit talking to you. And then put the Word of God to work. And you can only put the Word of God to work that you have in you. I remember several years ago, remember the year where the tornado came through and it took out a lot of West Liberty and I think it touched down in different places here. It was hairy. Those of you that were in town during that time know that they were like, yeah, you know, there's a warning, get in a safe place. So Jesse and myself, we took our kids and we got into our bedroom closet because that's the only one that doesn't have any outside walls in our house. And we got in there just being safe. And we sat in there and could you hear the rain pelting down, hear the winds blowing. And then all of a sudden we heard what everybody hears. They say when a tornado comes through, you hear it's like a train. You know, it sounds like a train coming through. And I heard it. I looked at Jessica. Jessica looked at me. And I looked out at the window that was just right out there. And I said, no! And about the time I said no, no more train whistle, wind blew, thing, it rained and all that kind of stuff. The next day, or later that night, I think we were driving out to go someplace, and we stopped with our neighbor at the end of the drive, end of our road. And he looked and he said, you guys okay down there? Because some of the shingles had blown off of houses and stuff like that. He said, you guys okay down that way? I said, yeah, we didn't touch your house. Didn't touch your house. And he said, I won't tell you how close we were. He said, what? He said, I was watching it. And he said, you hear that sound? We said, yeah, we heard that sound. He said, I looked up. He said, I wanted to see it. I stood out on my front porch and I looked up. And he said, right above our neighborhood was a funnel cloud coming down. And he said, it started coming down. As soon as it got down, it stopped and went straight back up. He said, it was the weirdest thing I ever saw. And my wife and I are going, no! Shut up! And then put the Word of God to work. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 1 tells us about a man that was in the synagogue that had an unclean spirit. He had possession. In verse 25, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace. He rebuked the devil, not the man. Hold thy peace, come out of him. Again, shut up. And then he spoke the word. Beloved, I'm telling you what. If you're going to see the victory, you're going to see walk in the authority of God, you can't sit there and be afraid of this coronavirus. You can respect things. Our family at nights, we've told our adult kids, stay home with us. Right? We've closed the church doors for a little while. We haven't closed the gospel. So we're using that wisdom, but don't be afraid of it. We have authority over it, and it cannot come to our dwelling place. It's okay. I speak to the coronavirus all the time. You will not come nigh Moorhead, Kentucky. You will not come nigh Grace Fellowship, my covenant partners. You will not come nigh my family. Because the Word of God says, He blesses my bread and water, and sickness is far from the midst of me. Far. Take authority. Say, shut up. Now, let me give you a final example here of authority. And again, next week we're going to get into this a little bit deeper. But let me give you one more illustration of authority. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, some of you all, some people are saying, well, that's the old covenant. I know, but it's a picture for us to look at of how to operate in authority. And in 1 Kings chapter 17, we know the story of the Philistines and Israelites being in battle. And And I'm going to read a little bit of it here because I want to paint a picture of this for you. Verse 8. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 8. And he stood, this is talking about Goliath, okay? And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and you servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you. Let him come down to me. If he be able to fight me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you'll be our servants to serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all of Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They had a covenant with Almighty God. They had a covenant that had authority behind it. All they needed to do was do what David did and say, I'm coming against you with the God of Israel on my side, and you're going to... But they were greatly afraid. Beloved, I'm telling you this. If you don't take authority, no authority will be taken. The devil will, but there will be no authority taken on your behalf. Now, I'll say that maybe perhaps a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister has been praying for you and taking authority and cursing some stuff on your behalf. But someone's got to take authority. God is waiting for His children to take authority, to stop what the enemy is doing on this earth. Amen? So they're afraid. They're dismayed and greatly afraid. Then comes David. Verse 22, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. Hey, I mean, he's just this teenage boy coming, running up, going, hey, guys, how you doing, man? You guys, and he sees fear in their eyes. He's like, what's going on wrong? And at that, the second he showed up, verse 23, as he talked to them, there came up the champion. The devil says, you can't beat him. He's a champion. No one's ever beat him. He's done this to other countries. He's done this to other nations. He's done this to other Christians. Man, we can do that with some sicknesses. I don't know anybody that's been healed of diabetes. I don't know of anybody that's been healed of cancer. I don't know anybody. They're champions. And God's saying, I want my kid. Just take authority. Quit giving cancer. Quit giving diabetes. Quit giving arthritis any say in you. The champion came out. The Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name. Out of the armies of the Philistines and spoke according to the same words. And David heard him. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid, except for David. David goes, "Who? If someone defeats him, what do they get? What do they get?" He's like, I'll get him. I'll get him. I kill a lion and a bear. I can, this uncircumcised Philistine, when he comes, you know, come with a sword and a shield, I come against you in the name of the armies of Israel, right? Now notice this. I just look at this. This is beautiful. Goliath is threatening a nation. Sound familiar? How about coronavirus? Everybody keeps saying, moose threatening a nation. You know the only reason our totals have gone so high is because we're testing more people than anybody else in the world has. Just a point of information. It's not political. But Goliath was threatening a nation, just like what we're seeing today. They were in the middle of a battle. Beloved, we're in the middle of a battle. And everybody was hiding in their homes. Afraid. Now, again, I'm not telling you start running out or running around the streets and breathing on everybody and doing going back to normal. We'll follow as long as we can. We'll do what the government tells us to do. So I'm not telling you that at all. But everybody was hiding in their homes, afraid. But one man showed up and said, I will take the authority that I have through the covenant of Almighty God, and I will wipe out this coronavirus simply by taking authority. All right, all right. And he ran to the battle. I'm going to stop there for a second because I'm going to show you exactly how he did it. I'm not going to necessarily read here. But Goliath came and said, who is this dude that comes with you with a stick? Now, David had two things with him. Obviously, one he had his rod, the stick. A shepherd never went anywhere without a stick. And that rod that he had was his weapon, which is a symbol in Psalm 23, where he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod is the weapon of the word. The staff is the Holy Spirit. He had his rod with him, which no shepherd ever went without. Ever. So when he said, why you come to me with a stick? He's talking about that rod type of the word. And then, remember, before then, he had a slingshot with five smooth stones. I don't have time to teach on this like this, but smooth stones means that it's been worked on for a while by the water, the word, and the water thing. But he picked them up. Five. How many did he use? He used one. But he came ready with five. Here's my point on this, is that get in the word. Get 5, 10, 20, 40, 60 scriptures in you. There may be one that you use when you go, you say, shut up, the Word of God says. But you better be full of the Word. His little bag was full of it. He came to him, he said, why are you coming to me sticks? And he said, first thing he said is, he said, I'll do the talking here. So the first thing he did was shut up. And then he said, you coming at me with a sword and a shield. I'm coming at you in the mighty name of the armies, of the God of the armies of Israel. And then he put the word to work. He put the word to work. He said, shut up! And then he put the word to work. And he liberated a nation because of the authority he took. Some of you might be here this morning. You might be saying, well, Pastor Thad, he was anointed king. He was a king. All right, just to bring this home, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15 says, which in times past he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Jesus is the King of kings. He is the authority over those. And I know some people are going, yeah, the kings of this earth, world. Yeah. Revelation chapter 1 tells us who the kings are, that he's king over. That he's got authority over. Now, yes, I'm not going to get into that today, but Revelation chapter 1, verse 6 says that he made us kings and priests. And anybody who wants to say, no, my Bible says kingdom of priests, your Bible, that translation is trying to explain something away. We are a royal priesthood. We are kings and priests. That Greek word means king all the way through. We are the kings that he's the king of. We are under the authority of the King of Kings. And we are those kings that have the authority to speak a thing and it shall be established. Isn't that awesome right there? Beloved, most Christians are not operating in this type of authority. Perhaps they didn't know they had it. But beloved, today it's time that we start taking our authority. That we start taking our authority over the virus, that we start taking authority over sicknesses, that we start taking authority over debt, that we start taking authority over poverty, that we start taking authority over confusion, that we start taking authority over a spirit of accusation, a spirit of strife that might be on us. Give the enemy no place in your life by standing in the authority that Almighty God has given you to stand in. Amen? Hallelujah! When the enemy comes at us, what do we say? What do? Shut up! And then we come in with the Word. Amen. Speak the Word only, and it'll be established.